Mentioned this was written by Luke, the same follower of Jesus who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he begins this by saying that this is, you know, part two. He says that in his first book he talked about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and now he is going to continue to talk about Jesus' ministry. And even though Jesus, you know, departs from his followers very early in the book, we continue to see how Jesus continues to be at work in them and through them, through miracles and all kinds of wonderful blessings as Jesus continues his ministry on earth by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that that Luke records how Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection, appearing to his disciples, appearing to the women, appearing to other followers. At one time, he appeared to 500 of them and continued to show that he was, in fact, alive, that he wasn't a ghost, that he wasn't a figment of their imagination. They were able to touch him, to see his wounds. They sat and they ate with him at meals, and there was no doubt that Jesus was, in fact, risen, risen from the dead. And so Jesus says to them in verse 4, he says, "Stay in Jerusalem until you have received the Holy Spirit." And that's what we're going to be celebrating next Sunday, is the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father was poured out upon the believers, and that through the Holy Spirit they were then enabled to go out to the ends of the earth. It's important for us to know that if we try to act on our own without the Holy Spirit, that we often come up short, that our vision, our ideals, they fall short because God's not behind what we're trying to do. But if we wait until we've received the Holy Spirit, until we know for sure that this is exactly what the Lord wants us to do it and how to do it and when to do it, then we go forth and there is often success. And it may not be the success that we envisioned, but because God is in it and God is in us, then he brings about success and his word does not return empty. We go on to verse 6. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will now restore the kingdom to Israel?" Is this the time, basically, they're saying, that you're going to kick out the Romans and let us have our independence back, to bring our nation back under the authority of God as opposed to the authority of Rome? Now, if you've been worshiping with us for the last couple of years, you'll realize that I return to this theme regularly. That it was a big part of Jesus' culture during that first century, that the Jews obviously didn't want to be under foreign control. They wanted to have their independence. They wanted to be free to worship and to be God's nation. And so there were lots of people and lots of prayers and lots of attempts to try to get rid of the Romans. And even now, after Jesus has been with them 40 days after his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, they still don't get it. They still don't understand the larger significance of who Jesus is and his purpose in all of those miraculous events. They think that it's been going to culminate now in their national independence. And so I know that there are some of you who are in a small group, some of you who maybe been in a Bible study, and you feel kind of lost. You feel like you're not getting it, that the conversations or the material or the video that you're watching, a lot of it may go over your head. And you feel a little out of sorts. You don't know if you belong in the group. You have questions that maybe aren't being explored. Know that you are in good company. Because even Jesus' disciples, after witnessing his resurrection and Jesus' continued presence with them in those 40 days after his resurrection, they still didn't get it either. They still thought that it was about bringing about their nation's independence from a Roman Empire. So don't be too hard on yourself. Continue to participate, continue to learn, to grow, and to pray. And over time, the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, will be at work to bless you and to help you to understand more than you may currently do. Instead of answering that question directly about, you know, "Lord, is this the time you're going to return the kingdom to Israel?" He says, I don't know when. You don't know when. It'll happen. And as Christians, we work toward that and we pray for that day when Christ will return in glory. But we don't know when, and people have obviously made predictions about when Christ will return down through the centuries, and obviously none of them have been right yet. And so it's largely not a waste of time, but it doesn't get us anywhere trying to guess the when or the how of that. He will return. We don't need to worry about the when. He says, "You will be my witnesses." Jesus says to his followers, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses." Starting right here in the capital, right here at the center of it all, right here where I was crucified, where I died, where I was buried, where I rose from the dead. Right here where you're going to be waiting for the next few days for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. Here in the capital, throughout the province of Judea, in Samaria, our neighbors who are there that you don't appreciate very much, you will be my witnesses to them and to the ends of the earth. And how true it is for us as well. We've had the centuries to be able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ right around the globe. To share the good news that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that God, by his grace, forgives us and blesses us and has a holy plan and a purpose for us in this life and in the life to come. Jonah, a number of centuries earlier, God spoke to Jonah and said, "Go to the city of Nineveh and tell them to repent. Take my message to them." And Jonah, we know, didn't want to do that. He had no respect for Nineveh whatsoever, for the citizens there. And he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, and he got on a boat going in the opposite direction. Well, we know how that turned out. There was a big fish. 3 days inside the big fish were enough to change Jonah's mind. And he ended up going where the Lord wanted him to the city of Nineveh. But the disciples, once the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they are not, of a mindset, "Oh, we don't like the Samaritans. We won't tell them about Jesus. Oh, we don't like the Romans or the Greeks or the Egyptians. We won't tell them about Jesus." No, not at all. Because it's not about what we know, right? And this goes back to those of you who maybe struggle in small groups or Bible studies. It's not about understanding everything. All of the theology, knowing your Bible forwards and backwards, it's about knowing and experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. We all know what love is. And so if we can realize that God loves us, if we can realize that God loves the people we don't love, and God is asking us to share his love with everyone, everyone, all of us can do that. We can all share the love of Jesus Christ with those around us. And we don't necessarily need to go to the ends of the earth, but we can tell our neighbor. We can show love to our neighbor. We can invite them to become a part of our church family or to go to any church family. It doesn't have to be here. And to experience the love of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of God for themselves. Verse 9. Refresh my memory here. "And while he was speaking to them, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes until a cloud overshadowed and they could see him no longer. They're standing there talking with him and Jesus leaves." This was perhaps a bit like when we were going on a family vacation and we were taking our dog to a kennel for 3 weeks. And we had some concerns about the dog and the dog missing us and that sort of thing. And we take the dog and drop him off and, you know, all that stuff. And as we drive away, the dog's not pressed up against the fence. You know, the dog's not crying for us. The dog's, you know, sniffing the grass and checking out the other dogs and that kind of stuff. Maybe the dog's not the best example. How many of you have ever dropped off a child at a summer camp? How many of you have ever dropped off a child at a summer camp and the child clings to you, doesn't want you to leave, doesn't want to stay, right? That's probably a better example than the dog. The disciples don't want Jesus to go. They've been delighted, obviously, that he rose from the dead. They've been delighted that he's been spending time with them during these 40 days since his resurrection. And as he leaves them, they're left wondering, what's going to happen now? He's told us to wait here in the city. He's told us that we will receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's told us that we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But he's leaving us. How are we going to do this without him? Well, the truth of the matter is that Jesus didn't leave them. With the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, which we'll be talking about more next week at Pentecost, Jesus was with them. They were assured of that. He did miracles through them, healing the crippled and others. He gave them dreams and visions. He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus as he was going to arrest and persecute followers of Jesus. All kinds of miraculous things were done by Jesus because he was still with them. Now, Jesus, in his resurrected body, may not have been physically with them. Jesus went to the throne of his heavenly Father and sat down at his right hand. Do you know what that means? That means that there is a man in heaven. I'm not just talking about somebody that's died, but there is a man, the Son of God, in heaven who hears our prayers, who is at work in our lives, who has not abandoned us, who has all the time in the universe to deal with each and every one of us. And because of that, we can approach the throne of God with confidence, boldly, knowing that God loves us so much that he gave his only Son to die for us, to live for us, ascended for us, and poured out his Spirit upon us. Therefore, when it comes to asking for healing for ourselves, for a loved one, when it comes to prayers about our needs and the needs of others, we can do that confidently, boldly, knowing that we are precious children of our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is still with us today, and we're thankful for that. We are so thankful for that. The disciples tried to cling to Jesus, and they stood there staring up into the cloud, hoping perhaps he might return, hoping that something would happen, that they would not be left alone. And after a little while, two angels appeared to them and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you staring up into a cloud? Jesus, this same Jesus, crucified and risen, the Son of God, he will come again. Don't worry about that. He will come again. But go into the city and wait, just as he instructed you." The song that the music group shared with us this morning, the one they wrote, "I'm Going Home," assures us that Jesus Christ has a place for us. We've lost some dear members of our church family in the last few weeks. We love them. We miss them. It breaks our hearts to not have them with us anymore. But we know that as believers in Jesus Christ, they are safe and secure in the kingdom of God. They are with Jesus and they are with all who have gone before us. And we can, with confidence, know that as part of that same family, we will be reunited with them again. And in the meantime, we are called to be God's church on earth. To learn how to love one another, to forgive one another, to bless one another, to help one another, to share and to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And we make mistakes along the way. And we forgive each other. We learn not how to be an organized religion, but to be an organized family. Where we all have a place at the table. Where each of us has gifts that we offer and gifts that we receive from one another. And we've had a wonderful example of that this morning from our singers and musicians. We're called to figure out with one another what it means to be a part of God's family. And what a blessing that is, despite a few hiccups and road bumps along the way. No. We have not been abandoned. We have not been dropped off at summer camp. We have not been left at the doggy daycare. Our Lord Jesus Christ is right here in our midst, loving us, blessing us, showing us who we are called to be. And yes, one day he will return. And as St. Paul says, listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived, who died, who rose from the dead, who ascended to the right hand of glory, and who pours out his Holy Spirit upon us and all who believe. To him we give all the praise and all the glory as members of his holy family. Amen. Don is a member of our prayer team. Thank you for leading us in prayer, Don.
Let us pray. As we quiet ourselves for prayer, forgetting our daily pressures and schedules, let us focus on the living God as we say, glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill to all. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you. We give thanks to you for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. You who take away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord. You, Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, are most high in the glory of God the Father. We come before you today, O Lord, in awe of your love for us and the miracles that you work in our lives every day. Father, You are the God of wonder, the God of grace, and the God of hope. Father, we are so thankful for your word that we heard this morning from the Acts of the Apostles. Thank you for that awesome resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the resurrection of Jesus and the gift of your Holy Spirit, we now all have new hope and new life. We need not fear the trials and difficulties of this life. We can live with joy because we know that your Holy Spirit is always with us. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us, O Lord, to constantly praise you and rely on you no matter what is going on in our lives. We pray that you would help us to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul so that we can truly love all others, especially those who are in need. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is in the past and grant us newness of life in you. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us here at Byron. We thank you for the heritage of faith of this congregation and of congregations past. And we thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit in this, our weekly worship services. Your Holy Spirit constantly guides Greg's sermons and lifts our praises to you in music and in prayer. Thank you. Thank you.